هناك صوت فلسطين صوت الشعب الفلسطيني من فانكوفر.
This is the voice of Palestine, the voice of the Palestinian people, coming to you from Co-op Radio in Vancouver. Good evening and welcome to another edition of The Voice of Palestine. I'm your co-host, Marian Kawas. It's August 9th, 2011, and our special feature tonight marks the 35th anniversary of the destruction of the Tel Azatar Palestinian refugee camp in Beirut, as well as commemorating the third anniversary of the passing of the great Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. We'll also have our music selections and focus on Zionism. But first, here is our news roundup. A Palestinian prisoners' rights group today called for the release of Bushra At-Tawil, the daughter of the mayor of El Bira, who has been held by Israeli authorities for a month now without any charge. Israeli forces arrested Ms. At-Tawil, just 18 years old, on July 6, 2011, after a raid on her family home in El Bira. No explanation was given for her arrest, and more than a month later, she has not been charged with any crime. The Human Rights Network for Palestinian Prisoners, YouFree, stated. YouFree believes that she was targeted for arrest by Israeli forces because her father, Mr. Jamal At-Tawil, is an elected mayor for El Bira. The statement added, "Family members of elected officials have been vulnerable to arrest due to the Israeli occupation policy of targeting families of elected Palestinian politicians as a means of applying pressure." Bushra's mother, Mutana, was also previously held in administrative detention for a full year, the group added.
And from Palestine, August 7th, the Israeli prison administration decided to tighten its harsh measures against Palestinian female prisoners of Hasharon during the holy month of Ramadan. A researcher at the International Solidarity Foundation, Ahmed Al-Bittawi, stated that Israeli prison administration refused to allow female prisoners of Hasharon prison to purchase their food from the canteen. He added that Palestinian female prisoners have suffered from insects and high humidity, especially in these very hot summer days. Palestinian prisoners emphasized that an unprecedented repressive campaign has been escalated by the prison administration during the holy month. The lawyer of the International Solidarity Foundation visited Hasharon prison last Thursday and met a number of female prisoners who told him about the misery they have lived in.
40 Palestinian prisoners being held at an Israeli prison contracted food poisoning over the weekend. The Palestinian Minister of Prisoner Affairs, Issa Karaki, quoted detainees as saying, "Prisoners being held in the infamous Negev prison said they had suffered from nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea after eating dairy products which had passed their sell-by date. Three of the prisoners are reportedly still in severe condition as they had already suffered from chronic ailments such as heart disease." Detainees further stated that prison authorities delayed transferring the sick inmates to the prison clinic, thus aggravating their symptoms further. One of the prisoners, Amjad Abu Latifa, blamed the Israeli prison administration for the food poisoning, pointing out that this is the second incident of its kind in 2 months. He added that the prisoners have filed an official complaint. These out-of-date products were bought from the prison store, and detainees have stated that Israeli authorities seem to intentionally sell expired goods.
And from Al-Quds, Jerusalem, Israeli police entered the Jerusalem compound housing the Al-Aqsa Mosque on Sunday evening and forcibly removed worshippers, the Palestinian news agency Ma'an said. Israeli police forces raided the Haram al-Sharif complex after the additional extended prayers performed during the holy month of Ramadan, the Ma'an reporter said. The Israeli police removed from the site a group of around 30 people who were spending a special time of seclusion in the area where the mosque and the Dome of the Rock stand as part of Ramadan devotion. They had at first refused to leave, the Ma'an correspondent said, as they wanted to prevent further raids by right-wing Israelis on the compound, which is revered as the third holiest site in Islam. On Friday night, a group of right-wing Israelis entered the Haram al-Sharif, where they clashed with local Palestinian youth. We'll now break for 1 minute and be back with more news.
You stood your ground till fear burned out and disappeared. And you prevailed. Stretch out your hand and pull us out of this despair. Show us the path and tell us how you dare to dare.
And now back to our news. Former Bethlehem governor, Salah Tamari, expressed disappointment over the weekend that Palestinian Authority officials did not attend the funeral of Hajj Ibrahim Atallah, who he praised as a symbol of Palestinian steadfastness. Atallah had remained in Zakaria, a small hamlet built on his land, until his death at the age of 101. He had managed to stay in Zakaria in South Bethlehem despite huge pressure from Israeli forces and settlers as the Gush Etzion settlement block was being built nearby. Shortly before his death, Mr. Atallah dug a grave near Israel's separation wall bordering his land and told his children to bury him there no matter what, relatives said. Mr. Tamari said no PA officials took part in Atallah's funeral, adding, not even a representative of Bethlehem governor's office, despite the fact that the deceased deserved to be awarded the Jerusalem decoration much more than many businessmen and officials who have been given that award. Meanwhile, mourners from neighboring villages and across the Bethlehem district joined the funeral procession in great numbers.
And from Nablus, that's today, August 9th, Israeli forces delayed an ambulance treating victims of a car crash in which a 13-year-old girl died, witnesses told the Palestinian news agency Ma'an. Anhar Sandouk died at the scene of an accident near Za'arta checkpoints south of Nablus in the northern West Bank, medics said. Four others, including Anhar's parents, were injured in the crash. Witnesses told Ma'an that the Israeli forces held the Palestinian ambulance at Za'atara checkpoint for 30 minutes. The girl's body was eventually taken to the Rafidia Hospital west of Nablus.
August 9th. Israel has deployed drones to keep watch on gas fields off of the Lebanese coast. The fields lie in a part of the Mediterranean that is now claimed by Israel for gas exploration and production, but Lebanon says the fields lie within its territorial waters. The decision to deploy drones was made in order to maintain a 24-hour presence over the site, Israeli newspapers stated, adding that the Israeli Air Force was equipped with the locally made Heron drone, which has special electro-optics designed for maritime work. The two biggest known gas offshore fields, the Tamar and the Leviathan, lie respectively about 80 kilometers and 130 kilometers off the city of Haifa. Tamar is believed to hold at least 238 billion cubic meters of gas, while the second field is believed to have reserves of 450 billion cubic meters. Additionally, last June, an Israeli company announced the discovery of two other new natural gas fields around 70 kilometers off the city of Hadera, further south.
And from Gaza City, the Fatah parliamentary deputy, Ashraf Jum'a, said Monday that four committees would begin work next week on outstanding areas in the reconciliation agreement between Fatah and Hamas. Jum'a noted that the committees would tackle prisoners, passports, social reconciliation, and the institutions shut down in Gaza and the West Bank following the 2007 conflict that divided the Palestinian territories under separate governments, with no authorities, one might add. Each issue would be completed before the next meeting between Fatah and Hamas in Cairo, to be held in early September, the official underlined. The former rival factions announced that progress was made on the issue of political prisoners in jail in the West Bank and Gaza after a Sunday meeting between the delegations in Cairo.
And finally, a French multinational company at the center of a global boycott campaign announced major financial losses last week, a statement from Palestinian civil society groups said yesterday. Viola is paying the price for its involvement in Israeli policies of occupation and apartheid against the Palestinian people, said Jamal Juma, coordinator of the Stop the Wall campaign. The Viola company has been losing contracts left, right, and center to the tune of billions of dollars, he added. No matter how large, no corporation can absorb such huge financial losses. This is bound to trigger loud discontent among Viola's shareholders, eventually leading to a demand for an immediate end to the company's complicity in illegal Israeli projects, Juma noted. In fact, Viola announced last Thursday that it would scale back its operations in several countries after a surprising first-half net loss of £67 million, the Wall Street Journal reported. It also suffered another setback last Wednesday after a local council in London failed to select the company for a contract which it had previously been promised. That contract would have been worth approximately £300 million over 15 years. In that case, activists had written to and met with councillors detailing Viola's involvement in the illegal Israeli occupation. Viola's loss of this contract following its failure in a number of significant bids in Britain and internationally is a clear sign that Viola is paying a high price for its complicity in Israel's occupation. Sarah Colborne, director of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign, said in a statement. Viola has been a major target of the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions campaign due to its involvement with several Israeli projects that violate international law, including the light rail project linking illegal Israeli settlements in occupied Palestinian territory with Jerusalem. Additionally, the news of Viola's financial losses came shortly on the heels after Israeli agricultural exporter Agrexco, another target of the BDS campaign, announced that it was facing a bankruptcy hearing in a Tel Aviv court. And that was the news for tonight. في جواز السفر وكان جرحي عندهم معرضا لسابح يعشق جمع الصور لم يعرفوني آه لا تتركي كفي بلا شمس لأن الشجرة يعرفني تعرفني كل Thank you.
العصافير التي لحقت كفي على باب المطار البعيد كل العصافير التي لحقت كفي على باب المطار البعيد كل حقول القمر كل السجون كل القبور البيض كل الحدود كل المناديل التي لوحت كل العيون كل المناديل التي لوحت كل العيون كانت معي مرتين مرتين عار من الاسم من الانتماء في تربة ربيتها باليدين.
And we were listening to Omar Sail Khalife, and the song is called The Passport. Actually, it's a poem by the late Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. Now we go to Marion and our special feature. Marion?
Tonight we are honoring Tell HaZatar, a Palestinian refugee camp in Beirut, as we mark the 35th anniversary of its total destruction this week. Tell HaZatar was wiped off the map after 55 days of complete siege and starvation by Lebanese phalangist militias with the covert support of both Syrian and Israeli forces. The efforts of both the Israeli government and compromised Arab regimes to erase Palestinian history are well documented, but so far unsuccessful. However, the real burden of the Palestinian tragedy is not just that Tell HaZatar was destroyed, its inhabitants killed and treated like subhumans, but also that the whole history of the Palestinians is full of such tragedies. In fact, the Nakba continues and continues to this day. This is the unbearable weight for the Palestinian people. To know that these horrors have occurred, continue to occur, and the international community is willing to stand by and ignore. Tonight, to pay tribute to both the camp of Tell HaZatar and the memory of Mahmoud Darwish, who passed away 3 years ago today, we are presenting perhaps one of his most famous poems, Ahmed Zaatar, that was written specifically in dedication to the camp. We will have two different musical compositions highlighting Darwish's poem during the feature. And in fact, all of our music tonight, except for the break in the news, is poetry by Mahmoud Darwish set to music. Our feature for Telezaatar will also include part of an open letter sent by the camp's inhabitants to the Arab regimes during that fateful siege, as well as poetry by another Palestinian poet, Fawaz Turki, who was raised in a Palestinian refugee camp in Beirut, close to Telezaatar. But first, to start out, here is a small translation of Darwish's powerful poem, Ahmed Zaatar. It's not actually a literal translation, because Darwish's poems defy a literal translation into English. It's rather a translation of the spirit of the poem, just to give people a small sample of his amazing poetry. Ahmed Zaatar. I am the Arab Ahmed. Let the besiegers come. My body is the fortress, let the siege come. I am the fire line, and I will besiege them, for my breast is the shelter of my people, let the siege come. I walk among small details. When I leaned against the waters, they shattered. When evening comes, I vanish, swallowed by a deep bell ringing far away. Only my bleeding tells me I exist. From the east to the west, they were arranging the funeral. They were selecting the guillotine. Each path my footsteps tread evades me, escapes. Each city I befriend throws at me my suitcase. I seek refuge in poetry and dreams, to find that daggers somehow beat me to my dreams. Remember me before I forget myself. The rocks are my letters to the earth. I shall rise up from the vegetable crates, from the sea, from the song of the poor, from their chant. We shall remain, we shall remain.
أنا أحمد العربي فليأتي الحصار جسدي هو الأسوار فليأتي الحصار أنا أحمد العربي
Thank you. لم تأتي أغنيتي لترسم أحمد الكحلي في الخندق. الذكريات وراء ظهري وهو يوم الشمس والزنبق. لم تأتي أغنيتي لترسم أحمد الكحلي في الخندق. الذكريات وراء ظهري وهو يوم الشمس والزنبق.
And that beautiful piece of music we've been listening to is Marcel Halife's rendition of the famous poem by the late Mahmoud Darwish, Ahmed Zatar. This is all part of our special tonight, where we are honoring the Palestinian refugee camp of Tel Azatar as we mark the 35th commemoration of its destruction. And we're also marking the third anniversary of the passing of Mahmoud Darwish, who passed away 3 years ago today. Carrying on with our special, we'd now like to present excerpts from an open letter from the people of Zatar that on July 13th, 1976, during the final siege of their camp, This letter, representing the population of Tell el-Zaatar, was addressed to the Arab foreign ministers in Cairo, who were conferring yet one more time to try and halt the aggression against the Palestinian people in Lebanon. This is part of that moving and profound letter. We have heard that you are now meeting to study the 16-month-old crisis in Lebanon. We have also heard that differences have arisen amongst you as to the methods to confront this crisis. We have few hopes and fewer illusions as to the possibility of this crisis being solved in the near future, because we know that a solution to the problems of Lebanon will take a very long time. Therefore, we speak to you now not about the crisis, but rather about our steadfast camp of Tell el-Zaatar, not to obtain sympathy, but from a position of heroic steadfastness, which this camp has maintained for every moment of this long siege and every moment of the 22 days during which our camp has been subjected to fierce fascist attacks. The fascists have shelled our homes with unprecedented savagery. Thousands of shells and rockets have fallen on them, while 54 major attacks have been launched against the camp, all of which we have confronted and repelled. We have survived hunger, thirst, and total lack of medicines, with a potential for steadfastness which no one can paralyze or break. For we know that in defending our camp, we are in fact defending our very existence, the life of our people, their will to exist, and their determination to struggle for their return to their homeland. We are determined to remain steadfast, and we have taken a public decision not to surrender. But in return, we wish to provide you with a graphic picture of our camp, for we want history to recall that we have placed before you all of your responsibilities and have provided you with all the facts so that the Arab masses can be sure that you were not unaware of what was happening. Our camp, which is now inhabited by around 30,000 men, women, and children and old people, about 40% of whom are poor Lebanese and the rest Palestinians, is today a scene of utter destruction. There is no water, except the very little we can carry from the wells amidst the danger of shelling and death. No food, except what we have been able to salvage from the wreckage of our homes. No electricity whatsoever, no medicines, and no medical treatment. Many of our wounded who could have been saved, even those whose wounds were minor, have bled to death for lack of blood and medicines. You can undoubtedly imagine how painful, how horrible it is for a human being to bleed to death in the arms of a brother or a friend or a comrade without the latter being able to help in any way. We have buried our martyrs in the nearest shallow grave we could dig, and some of us were martyred in the process of burying them. How painful is the feeling that you will have to bury your friend, your child, your wife, only a day or two after they are wounded by shrapnel or a sniper's bullets. What is now occurring in our heroic camp is a slap in the face of those who lied to the whole world when they said they had come to Lebanon to break the siege around Tell el-Zaatar. Just to note that that's a reference to the Syrian regime. The letter goes on to say, they are still propagating the same hollow lies. However, if you are not yet aware of it, you should know that they are helping the isolationists. We declare this in all confidence, for we are the ones facing death at any moment. We have become experts in the types of shells and rockets and bullets. We know where they are manufactured and what their source is. We do not want to delay you, for we know your time is precious and you have a great deal of information about our camp. But we wish to inform you that we will fight in defense of this camp with our bare hands. If our ammunition is spent and our weapons are gone, and then we will tighten our belts so that hunger will not kill us. For we have taken a decision, and we shall not surrender. We are sorry that this letter we send you must be an open one, but the critical state of things forces us to hold you publicly responsible before the Arab masses and the world. That was excerpts of an open letter from the people of Za'atar in their own words addressing the Arab foreign ministers meeting in Cairo just 1 month before the camp was totally obliterated. And that was more of the same composition by Marcel Halife of the poem Ahmed Za'atar by Mahmoud Darwish. And now to conclude our special honoring the camp of Tell el-Za'atar and the late Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish, we're going to conclude with a poem by another Palestinian poet by the name of Fawaz Turki, who was raised in a Palestinian refugee camp in Beirut, similar to Tell el-Za'atar. His poem is entitled A Place Called Tell el-Za'atar. After the reading of his poem, we'll finish off with another different musical composition of the poem Ahmed Za'atar, this time by Lebanese singer-songwriter Khaled Al-Haber. A Place Called Tell el-Za'atar by Fawaz Turki. They are free from disdain, the children of Tell el-Za'atar. No rain falls on Tell el-Za'atar, and there even the seasons are vague. And one finds more than a single answer to every single question on the native ground of Tell el-Za'atar. The earth of Talazatar remains here, and it will go on being earth. No one can contest that name, its rules, and its form of being. Every morning for another million sleepless nights, the sun will rise to listen to the unyielding argument of the child from Talazatar. In the cells of his eyes will be the brown color of our land, the memories of all its dreamers, the eternity of all its rivers, and all the secrets of how a thousand generations worked the land worked the men, and the men in the land worked the heavens. Sometime when the place of Talazatar is a placeless place, when the sheep have eaten all the grass, when the trees had struggled with all the winds, when the winds had struggled with all the seas, and when the seas waited to return, in the end, inside the belly of the universe, the echo of Talazatar will be heard, long after the voice is forgotten. The universe never runs out of things to do. It has all our coherence to work with.
لم تأتي أغنيتي لترسم أحمد الكحلي في الخندق الذكريات وراء ظهري وهو يوم الشمس والزنبق يا أيها الولد الموزع بين نافذتين لا تتبادلان رسائلي قاوم إن التشابه للرمال وأنت للأزرق وأعد أضلاعي فيهرب من يدي بردا وتتركني ضفافا مبتعدا وأعد أضلاعي فيهرب من يدي بردا وتتركني ضفافا مبتعدا وأبحث عن حدود أصابعي فأرى العاصمة كلها زبدا وأحمد يفرك الساعات في الخندق لم تأتي أغنيتي لترسم أحمد المحروق بالأزرق هو أحمد الكوني في هذا الصفيح الضيق المتمزق الحالم هو الرصاص البرتقالي البنفسجة الرصاصية هو اندلاع ظهيرة حاسم في يوم حرية يا أيها الولد المكرس للندى يا أيها البلد المسدس في دمي يا أيها الولد المكرس للندى يا أيها البلد المسدس في دمي الآن أكمل فيك أغنيتي وأذهب في حصارك والآن أكمل فيك أسئلتي وأولد من غبارك الآن أكمل فيك أغنيتي وأذهب في حصارك والآن أكمل فيك أسئلتي وأولد من غبارك يا أيها الولد المكرس للندى يا أيها البلد المسدس في دمي يا أيها الولد المكرس للندى يا أيها البلد المسدس في دمي الآن أكمل فيك أغنيتي وأذهب في حصارك والآن أكمل فيك أسئلتي وأولد من غبارك الآن أكمل فيك أغنيتي
وأذهب في حصارك والآن أكمل فيك أسئلتي وأولد من غبارك فاذهب إلى قلبي تجد شعبي شعوبا في انفجارك شعوبا في انفجارك.
And we were listening to Khalid Al-Haber. It's a beautiful singing and composition for the same poem, Ahmed Al-Za'atar, by the late Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. Now we go to Marion and focus on Zionism. Marion?
Tonight's focus is excerpts of an article from The Observer on August 7th. Nurit Palad Elhanan, an Israeli academic and mother, summons up an image of rows of Jewish school children bent over their books, learning about their neighbors, the Palestinians. But, she says, they are never referred to as Palestinians unless the context is terrorism. They are called Arabs. The Arab with a camel in an Alibaba dress. They describe them as vile and deviant and criminal, people who don't pay taxes, people who live off the state, people who don't want to develop, she says. The only representation is as refugees, primitive farmers, and terrorists. You never see a Palestinian child or doctor or teacher or engineer or modern farmer, she adds. Peled Elhanan, a professor of language and education at the Hebrew University, has studied the content of Israeli school books for the past 5 years, and her account, Palestine in Israeli School Books, Ideology and Propaganda in Education, is to be published in the UK this month. She describes what she found as racism, but more than that, a racism that prepares young Israelis for their compulsory military service. She believes that the education system helps to perpetuate an unjust, undemocratic, and unsustainable state. She concludes, everything they do, from kindergarten to 12th grade, they are fed in all kinds of ways, through literature and songs and holidays and recreation, with the chauvinistic and patriotic notions.
About to listen to a song by Palestinian singer George Hormoz. He's a Palestinian-American singer, and it's called Identity Card. It's a poem by, again, Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish. We'll have it at the end of our show. And with that, we conclude another edition of The Voice of Palestine. Our final piece of music is by Palestinian singer Zainab Shaath. And the song is a translation of the Identity Card. Write down, I'm an Arab. It is a poem by the late Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish, and on this third anniversary of his passing and the 35th anniversary of the destruction of the Tell el-Za'atar Palestinian refugee camp, we dedicate this song to Mahmoud Darwish and to all the Palestinian poets and to all the people and the martyrs of Tell el-Za'atar who put the Palestinian identity on the world map. Please stay tuned for the World Poetry Show coming up next on Vancouver Cooperative Radio on 102.7 FM, and be sure to check out our website at voiceofpalestine.ca, and remember to support the struggle of the Palestinian people by joining the global Boycott Israel movement and locally Boycott Cactus Club, Mountain Equipment Co-op, and Chapters, and all those who support Israeli ethnic cleansing and Israeli apartheid. I've been your co-host, Hanna Qawwas, for the Voice of Palestine. Have a good night.
I'm an Arab. Write down, I'm an Arab. My card number is 50,000. I have 8 children. Angry? Are you angry? Write down, I'm an Arab. Write down, I'm an Arab. I cut stone with laborers. I squeeze the rock to get a loaf, to get a book for my 8 children. But I do not plead charity, and I do not grin down. I'm an Arab. I am a name without a title, steadfast in this frenzied world.